and welcome to the Spirits Work Show. I'm Sylvie Avery. My husband, Mick, and I are spirit mediums and authors. And this show is about bringing you new insights into the reality of your world. We come from the perspective that armed with truth and knowledge, we can all have the opportunity to move forward in harmony and create a better world in the process. And this week's show is called A Soul with Two Halves. And if you would like to know more about us, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you'd like to join us live on air with a relevant question, then we'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone number, and it's 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And her loveliness. Okay. Yes, this is exactly what makes Mick's gift so unique, because when Gregory is talking to us, it's not words taken from his mind and repeated or regurgitated, but it's the complete personality of a non-physical being from the other side of life who has come to speak to us. Excuse me a moment. I don't think you're very loud, Mick, actually. Okay? You're not loud.
No, I'm not loud. Well, I'm going to be feeding back if I'm any louder.
Is your power pack switched on?
Of course my power pack is switched on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody just came in and said that they can hear you.
Oh, well, that has nothing to do, though, with...
All right. Okay, well...
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing to do with anything else. You see, Okay. Everything else is plugged in and we're fine, happy.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Don can hear everything all right and that
yes.
The listeners can hear everything all right.
Okay. All right, then.
Yes, everything is working. I tested the system and I ran the stream on the other network,
yes. And
it's all working.
The wonderful heavenly voice of Don there, by courtesy of Don Newsom on BBS Radio. Thank you very much, Don.
You bet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, okay, where was I? Yes, telling you about Gregory. Gregory comes to us as a representative of the White Cloud Group, and they're a spiritual group who have come with a desire to help us, which is why they were formed in the first place. They're an educational group, and they've had many hundreds of years of preparation. Even now, there is continued exploration, research, investigations, and study into all of the teachings that they bring for our benefit. And if you are ready to understand and realize the importance of spiritual evolution within a human lifetime, then this is the show for you. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And don't forget, if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. It's a free phone number from anywhere. The number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. So, I do believe Gregory's with us.
Indeed I am, friend. Hello.
Hello, Gregory. You had one foot in then, and I called him back.
I did, yes, quite. Yes. It was necessary, however, I feel.
Yeah.
With love and light, as always, dear friend, I, Gregory Hay, of the White Cloud Group, born in 1705 and passed in 1723. I am so privileged and honored, as always, to be able to be in your kind vibration, little bird. And I am so thrilled and honored to be able to take part in this soiree of words, this immediate information superhighway of the spirit.
That's lovely. Thank you. Oh, well, pleasure's all ours, believe me. Well, tonight's program's going to be called The Soul of Two Halves, and there was a particular reason why you wanted the show to be called this, wasn't there?
Yes, most certainly so. Perhaps it is, I feel, that as we have cast our minds and our thoughts in the direction of the human race, and all that it is within the spiritual evolution of time and space, as far as the human race has existed upon the planet of Earth for the last 5 million years, it appears to us that there have been very confusing relics of question and thought upon the subject of what the soul is, and how it may be that humanity, in its wisdom, have been brought about, have been nurtured, as it would be, through the energy of God, to be able to have male and female, or perhaps to have, as some would perceive it, a soul of two, a soul of two halves. It is not that you must regard human beings as a species, through gender, as being two halves of one soul. Indeed, it actually misplaces the whole conception and the whole very factual analysis of what the soul really is. It's not being a being in itself. The soul is an energy force. It is the conclusion, the sum total, if you like, of your thoughts and feelings, of your emotional intent upon the earth's surface, in your earthly journey. In that respect, it is just but one half of what the actual mechanism of the soul is. I say again, the soul is not a thing, is not a physical thing, is not a subterranean etheric being, as it is having its own structure, molecular, particulate, or in any other etheric form. But actually, what the soul is, in its first part, shall we say, in the state that you relate to it as being, is that the soul is the sum total of your emotional energy, the quality of your life, the way in which you interact with different aspects of your life, perhaps to do with emotional content, as I say, negative and positive. And of course, it is to do with the result of your life, the energy you bring together with that life, is what brings about the sum total of the energy complexion of the soul. Therefore, as I have often said before, if you are a being who has brought about this great tainted mystery over your physical life, perhaps you have brought about great negativity and shame upon your spirit through your lack of decision or through wrongful actions and activity in your physical state. Perhaps you have also brought about wrongful thoughts, misused that ability of spiritual gift, perhaps, that you have. Or, in another sense, brought about karmically a wrongful act to your physical state as well as your spirit. It will naturally mean, through this energy highway that you have collected within the soul and its purpose, that is, the part of the energy complexion that you are in physical state, means simply that you will actually limit the scope of the second field of existence of the soul. So, for a little while, we must talk of what of this enigmatic approach that many have about the soul having weight or having an actual expanse, a molecular structure of some form. Surely, if something is to have any kind of structure, or particles, or cellular force in that environment, it must have weight. Therefore, if something weighs even half an ounce, it must be the size of something that you can actually visually see. Something which you can either pick out from your eye, from your own vision, or some form of organ or compound to do with a specific organ, which allows emotional content and the energy released and brought about within that content to actually be maintained in that specific area. So does that mean to say that some part of the body that perhaps releases adrenaline, or perhaps, as is so often thought of, the seat of the soul, the pituitary gland, or something like that, that fine, beautiful mass, which appears to be like a mushroom cloud within the brain or at the brain stem, perhaps it is that that so often is claimed as being the soul. I have to say that actually what happens to the pituitary gland is that it is a collection of energy. It is a point of collection, yes, but it is not actually the soul itself. The soul itself is an etheric form. Your energy of emotion, your energy content of whatever it is that you brought about, pain, agony, feelings of negativity, feelings of great positivity, love and warmth, all of these things are what come to make about the most emphatic reasoning, the whole scope of what the soul is, of your actual being. It isn't something that you actually weigh yourself, although sometimes it may feel as though you are weighed by it, because perhaps, shall we say, if you have had an extremely blamed life, if you have been extremely negative, you will feel heavy of heart. You will feel as though this is weighing definitely upon you, almost as though it is something which is having a great weight. But that is a misconception of what you are experiencing. Mind, again, is playing tricks upon you, is playing with your thoughts and feelings. Because the soul, in fact, is this wonderful mechanism of bringing and gathering together all of the sources of your emotion from one day to another, from 1 minute, 1 second to another second. All of these climbing exclamations of beauty and wonder, as well as these great pits and troughs of sorrow that human beings go through in the millennia of their life, plan. The play never ends until the final curtain, and even then continues on. It is just merely an act, after all.
Going back to the weight, we had an email earlier on from Pam.
Yes.
And she said that doctors have said that at the moment of death, physical weight of the deceased decreases by mere ounces. And they speculate that this must be because the soul has left the body. And you've just said that the soul doesn't have weight or gauge.
That is true. What, in fact, that they are experiencing is the actual particulate force of what is happening when the last exhalation of breath occurs. In a similar way, I suppose you could say that people's sight, that the nails still grow after the corpse becomes a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
when in actual fact it isn't the case at all. It is really that it is just that the skin shrinks. Nothing grows.
Oh, right.
After the point of the spirit leaving the physical state, nothing grows whatsoever. It is merely just that the different shrinkages which occur with a corpse once that vapor and life tissue, if you like, has ceased to be. So you must understand that actually even the volume of gas which is within the very air that you breathe, the volume of gas which is in the blood that is within your system, the whole situation of your physical molecular structure changes dramatically at the point of passing. And that is the cause of the change in weight of which they speak. It is nothing whatsoever to do with the soul. The soul is not of physical state, although it is the culmination of physical interactivity with the spirit, with emotion, with your, as I say, whole life experience. That life experience does not carry weight, although it may feel, as I say, that life experience has weight upon you. Yes?
Okay. So the soul doesn't actually make decisions or choices to make. It doesn't have a... You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yes.
Know exactly what you're saying. The soul is not a descriptive. It is not something which creates energy or brings about energy. The soul is there as a receptive facet of your spirit and actually was derived from the soul group. This is because at the point of when you actually were a being is actually quite difficult to determine because you have always been a part of what God is. So in that respect, you have always been a part of God. Never not once were you ever not a part of God. And that is exactly the same for every single being living, every tissue cell that has ever existed through wherever the dimension exists that that being exists in. Or any fossil fuel, any gas, any combination of mineral or form of energy which is etheric is all a part of what God is. Therefore, you cannot actually say that you yourself at any time did not exist, because you always have, because you're actually part of God.
Okay.
So my point, I suppose, is, and I do not wish to detract from this too much, but really to say that how the soul becomes a part of what you are is because of the growing situation within the purity sea, that is where you were spirit purity, as a part of that sea of God. In this time and presence, you were completely pure, a pure part of what God is. Therefore, you could construe that this is a part of your soul. But in actual fact, you were not divined or defined necessarily as being aspect of soul before you became attracted to a specific soul group, which is actually the reason why soul groups are not one necessarily one specific species or being. So you were actually attracted to this specific soul group because of your intent, characterization, personality, even before you had physical state. You still had characterization and difference. You still had direction because of the state of love which is existing within you as that part of soul which allowed you to be in that presence and vibration, Why did it allow you to be in that presence and vibration? How can a soul who has never had experience or has never accrued emotion and content of itself allowed anything other than purity? Well, quite so, because it is ultimately pure. But the point is that I'm trying to make here is that the division of what made soul be itself was not necessarily through any situation to do with you as a human being. The division of soul became a part of that facet of God because the creation of all complete wholeness has always been complete, yet appears to expand and contract at the same time. This, in fact, is what actually creates further energy and therefore further spirit in any form. And it is through this beautifying contraction and giving that God has, which allows different spirit to become manifest, glorying in one another's light. What actually happens then when you become attracted to this specific soul group, shall we say then? What simply happens is that your love, your intent and energy is actually brought and directed towards that soul group. You are still as this pure being after all, acknowledging that you are different in your purity from anyone else, yet you can understand the perfect harmonization you experience within the soul group. Actually, it is because of your love and giving, which is as pure as a part of God that you are able to manifest with one another this intense purity of your divine purpose.
Okay. I thought that was going to be a phone call then. Okay. So, so obviously the soul has a different role to play at various stages in your life, your eternal life.
Yes, absolutely so. But the point is that the main understanding, the main construction of what the soul is, as I say, is actually to be this collection of energy and experience. It is what you are for, to gather experience. You were even of the same thing even before you gathered experience. Perhaps you should really look at a later time of how and why it would be that soul would want to gather experience, what brought that need about. But for now, we will have to really leave it be,
okay.
Because it is a fully complex situation. I'm not trying to belittle anyone by saying this.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying that there is a whole other raft of situations and understanding that needs to be brought about with that particular subject.
Okay.
But I have to say that, so with the soul in its definition at this point, you will see that before you had physical life, your soul was of purity. It may not be that you only came from the purity sea before you had physical life in a human form. It may be, after all, that you experienced different things, different situations, both in the spirit world and possibly, but not necessarily, as other physical form in other dimensions or space. So I'm not saying that you are particularly, or I, was always human of human particulate or descent or memory, and that before that you did not exist. Many, I feel that human soul or spirit is created through physical manipulation of matter, and that spirit comes after that situation. But it is simply not true. The spirit is always a part of God, is always in existence because of this divine purity and state of the fact that you are a part of what has always existed.
Mm. Yes, well, we tend to put shape and form into things to make them more understandable for ourselves.
Yes, and I understand that.
Don't we?
Of course, and that is because you have to have barrier. You have to have a boundary of something because you can only understand things in physical state with which everything is covered in skin or has a boundary, an outer layer somewhere. It begins and ends in one particular place, whereas that is not actually the definition of what spirit or how the interpretation of the energy of soul allows you to be in one, in any one particular dimension at any one time.
Okay. Okay. So while it's here, it's a receptive facet of your spirit.
Yes, quite so. And a receptive facet, of course, of everything that you have done. It is part of what helps to make up the Akashic record.
Right.
Because it is also the... It is the energy layering that actually brings together all of the issues to do with energy you have had in your life. When I say this, I am talking of the decisions that you have made to do with the resulting actions and activities, thoughts and recriminations, whatever it has been, that your judgments have made upon your life plan and purpose. All of these activities come to make up what your soul is. And then what happens is, after your passing, and also at times during your life state, it will be that actually the activity that you have brought about may allow you to visit different places. It is as though your soul actually allows you to understand different levels of activity in your physical state. And after you have passed, it enables you to have access to activity in the spirit world, depending upon to what level of understanding you have accrued in your physical life. Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and our show tonight is called A Soul of Two Halves. If you want to join us with a question relating to our subject, then please do phone us. The lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. It's a free phone number, and it's 877-876-5227. Okay, so, well this is... This is the first half that you were talking about. Is there anything else that you want to cover in this first half?
Hello?
Yes, friend.
Oh, hello. Hi. How's it going, Gregory?
Hello, friend.
Hi.
How wonderful it is to be able to speak with you.
Hi.
Hi. And I have an interesting question, perhaps. But are people have different blood types?
Yes.
Does that say anything about their spirituality, the type of blood that they have?
It is nothing whatsoever to do with the spirituality. It is actually purely to do with genetics and the way in which human form has mutated over the millions of years it has been in existence.
Okay,
that's it in a nutshell.
Gosh, that was a quick one, wasn't it, John?
Yes. Very good. That was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you so, friend. Thank you so.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, so, where were we? Yes, talking about... Is there anything else that you want to add about that? First half?
Well, yes. Really, I hope that everyone understands this, that the whole purpose of the soul is to collect the energy of your emotion, of all of the things and your decisions that you have made, as I have already said. That is what gives you access. It is why we call the soul, really, your spirit taxi. It is the vehicle of the soul which allows you access to different dimensions or states of being, either whilst you are a physical being or once you are permanently returned home in the spirit world.
Is it something that you can see when you're in the spirit world? Can you see, distinguish somebody as a spirit being and then you can see their soul? Or is it literally just something that is an invisible energy all the time?
Well, first of all, I feel that we should actually determine what resonance of the soul is actually able to be seen as a physical being.
Okay, yep, fine.
And that is, of course, that your aura is the outer envelope of your soul, of the actual total of your journey. However, for many people, it may be that, for example, if you are having a great spiritual revelation at the time, it will be that revelation has overtaken all other aspects of your physical journey to that point. Naturally so, perhaps because it may be, it is a divine revelation, in which case your vibration and the level to which you have arisen in your thought and feeling, in your ability to concentrate your emotion and the bringing of the well of love from within a self toward other beings is heightened and accentuated to such an extent that your vibration is illuminated. This in itself raises the vibration of your soul, and that is what you can see the outer extremities of when you are looking perhaps at a person's auric field, because it is actually responding to the glowing resonance within a self, within the soul. So does this mean then that the soul is in a particular place of the physical state? Well, I have to say, it is really to do with it being within the closest proximity to your higher self. So I suppose you could say that as you look at the physical state, your highest self may be for some people to be the heart. It may be that the greatest well of love comes from your heart, and that is how some people depict where their energy center is, where their greatest feelings come from, and their most intuitive union with divine inner self and spiritual higher activity is to do with that blessing energy from the heart. And I can well understand that. Others will cite perhaps that this beautiful purifying energy comes from the ascension of being of who am I? To the extent of your higher conscious state, perhaps through the very essence of understanding of the limitless mind that you have been able to successfully channel through and have access, a full access of. This, in effect, means then, surely to those people, that the soul is within the physical cortex of the brain, or something like that. Mm. And that perhaps is why people feel that the pituitary gland is the seat of the soul. As I have said before, the pituitary gland tends to react to different emotional states during physical activity. It is also a very physical situation which allows growth and activity within the physical state to manifest itself in a physical way. It also, in this sense, allows for height, for weight, whatever the build of the person or being, how they are growing, how they are in their own state of being. This surely is an echo then of a physical reality, not a paradigm of the spirit, but actually to do with the physical state of molecular structure and how it is that beings gradually manifest and mutate themselves within the order of things depending upon their ability of mutation or what genetics have brought about that mutation through their DNA. It is not necessarily that one person is biased toward a certain look or appearance because of their spiritual activity. Although, however, I have to say that some children or some adults may well exhibit a specific auric field or even a physical manifestation of some aspect of themselves. Perhaps their eyes, instead of having white around the eyes, that white turns blue purely because of the increased spiritual accent of that being's understanding of the global thought of love within a self, within a purity unveiling of self and acknowledgement of that state of being.
A lot of people, I was doing some research today, a lot of people seem to think that the soul, well, many things, but one of them was that the soul are your thoughts, because they maybe believe that the soul carries on and that your consciousness carries on with it and they connect it together. But then that can't be the case, because if you were somebody that was in a coma or something like that and didn't have any thoughts because of brain damage or whatever, you'd be handicapped as far as your soul was concerned, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, quite so.
You know what I mean?
Yes, but the point is, my friend, is that they have actually missed the point and are understanding only a fraction of what the soul is. Because, in fact, yes, of course, the first part of the soul is that it is the sum total of all of the thoughts. That is what I've already said.
Yes.
It is a manifestation of the thoughts and of your emotional intent and content that has happened in your life. That is what allows you, your spirit perhaps, to have access to different avenues and further access of other newer avenues of thought within the paradigm of the spirit world. Quite simply, just to say glibly that it is only the thought that is really basically what makes up the soul is incoherent, because, in fact, it isn't just to do with thought, although I admit that thought is responsible in a physical state for all activity, action, decision, and judgment. It is naturally, then, that people would think this. However, there are a great number of issues to do with emotional intent, which is not to do with thought intention or purpose. That is, you are sometimes responsive to different emotional events which bring and identify from you the well of love from within a self, which means that you, for example, may suddenly issue great emotional intent upon a situation which you decipher through thought, I understand that, but that in fact it isn't something that you have made up from yourself. It is something you are responding to. Therefore, it is not thought which creates that, but activity which is exterior to self which creates it. Therefore, you are responding in type, not to your own thoughts, but to situations around you. That is what makes you a conscious being.
How does the soul and ego go together?
Well, now, yes, very well. We have to, thank you, Maurice. We have to say that actually ego is really to do with different activities of necessity. That is not to say that all ego is of necessity. It is unfortunate that some people's ego or elements of their ego become deranged or that they actually become disproportionate to other segments of activity the ego should be involved with. Ego, to a point, is to do with the actual ancestry of the androgynous purpose of who you are. It is actually to do, in part, to do with instinct and the baser elements of instinct and survival, how it is that you have been able to bring yourself about this far, survive this far, is actually to do with the element of ego, that is, the way in which you are able to make decision and judgment upon specific purpose. to try to continue to allow you to exist at all. So you cannot necessarily say that ego is something which should be phased out from the humankind. In actual fact, human beings need ego or certain elemental parts of it in order to survive at all.
Yes.
So one actually has to be quite careful about what you construed as ego to be. I feel that we should do something upon the situation of ego and balance.
Ego on ego.
Yes, quite
yes.
so.
Yes.
As it is really a separate thing, an accumulation of energy, and how to actually deal with that.
Yes. What's good ego and what do we need?
You know,
that
quite so.
Thing.
Yes, babe.
Hi, you know, this is Dawn, and thank
Hello.
You. It's a pleasure. I was hearing your conversation, and I had a question on something, and I doubt I'll be able to get an answer on this for some time myself.
Yes.
When somebody's meditating and they're connecting out there with other souls and the communication are happening, sometimes strange things occur in the mind.
Yes.
And the couple of questions I would have is there any danger to meditating, number one? And number two, when you meditate and you get into a higher vibration or you feel like you're in a higher vibration connecting with a very powerful light source, and things happen that totally unbalance your mind,
yes.
your energy, and your body in such a manner that it's frightening.
Yes, because you are unprepared for it. The problem, my friend, is that with the latter part of your question, is that actually for many people, they actually may come too close, or that other forces may come too close to them.
Yes.
Not that they are not ready for it, not that it is a premature situation.
Wow, how did you always amaze me.
But that, my dear friend, it is that some people merely do not mesh well with one another. This is actually usually because they are not of the same soul group. Therefore, their vibration and your vibration is inextricably different. This does not mean to say that it can never meet, but that there needs to be work involved upon the development of both beings. Not just you, but also the being who may be trying to make in contact with you. This is actually the reason why we always say to people in this situation that if such a thing should happen and you begin to feel uncomfortable through your meditative state because of such influence, you must quietly ask in your mind, please step back, friend. Not because your energy is too strong, but because you are actually creating a void in space between us, which I am finding difficult.
You picked it out because I was meditating. I saw eyes just like you were describing, and they were and a lot of light. And it was getting closer and closer, and I could see it, and I could almost go into the eyes, and it was right up against my face, and I could feel the energy in my whole body shift, and then all of a sudden, my mind. I can't describe it any better than someone taking like a sword and cutting your brain in half at an angle, and all the energy. It's so disorienting and unusual that I couldn't explain it.
You could not grasp what was actually physiologically happening to you.
Correct.
Because it was outside of your experience. Not to say that your experience was subversive in any way,
right.
or that their experience toward you meant that they were higher or ascended beings.
Right.
Unfortunately, many people construed this as being some sort of portent toward you being a lesser being.
Right.
This is completely false and untrue. It merely shows that the person does not understand the mechanics of meditation or the duality purpose of a person's energy and how they may bring in harmonization toward another person, another being,
right,
and actually blend with that energy. It is in the blending of the energy that is so important, which actually is part of what defines one person's soul to another. It may be that the person whom you experience and their life plan, their poverty of association perhaps, may have been something which actually reacted very violently toward you. And that actually what you were feeling was that it may well have been your doorkeeper cutting the contact.
Amazing. You know...
In protection of you.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you very, very much. I guess, so really it comes down to meditation. You don't have to, I mean, no matter where you're going in your mind, you don't have to worry about ending up somewhere physically other than where you started, and you don't have to worry about...
Indeed not.
Not coming back.
Or not coming back.
Right, that's...
But, however, I have to just answer your first point, and that is it ever that meditation is dangerous? Well, I cannot say that it is always perfect.
Right.
Or that it is always of purity. Quite simply because there are many beings in different realms, not necessarily of negative realms, and not necessarily of lesser form or lesser vibration, as you understand it,
yes,
but that have a different intent or a different organization in their judgment and their response to you as being something which is alien, outside of your experience, and therefore difficult for you to cope with.
Understood.
As a being.
Yes.
And for this purpose is why we say that you should always ask for those simple words. I ask for the highest and best. I ask that there be purity and love within the relationship and the auric field of my sitting.
Thank you. Again, it is always a pleasure. You've made my day. Thank
you. And you have made mine, friend.
Thank
you. With
your
illuminated understanding. Do not belittle yourself, my friend.
Thank you. Well, there's times where you go through triggers, and I guess some of it's exciting, and some of it's bewildering, and some of it's extremely unusual.
Yes, quite so.
But I love it.
G'day.
Thank you, and I'll let you get back to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. Okay. So, where were we, Gregory? Can you remember?
Well,
come on, Maurice. In fact, everybody, we have to say, because just earlier on you said, yes, thank you, Maurice.
Yes. Maurice is actually an individual who has been my friend all of this time that I have been working within the White Cloud Group. Up until, that is, at the point of when he passed, some 120 years ago. And that actually Maurice is a very dear and giving friend that actually is responsible more for physical manifestation and helps with situations to do with that. But actually he has great expertise and understanding in the ways and the manifestation of different apparatus to do with the energy fields of human existence.
And he's here all the time, and
yes,
he every now and again feeds you a little snippet.
Absolutely so, particularly if I may be struggling, which actually is sometimes in effect because I do not have answers to everything, and it depends upon whether those who are giving me information are absolutely illuminated by what they are doing, or sometimes they may just suddenly stop. You see?
Okay. Well, as long as you don't do that to me, I don't mind.
Well, no, quite so. It happens very rarely, but that really is an indication of what is happening, you see. It isn't necessarily that, because it is not my mind, you understand.
Yeah.
I am here, yes, but that the information is coming from many other beings.
Yes.
So sometimes there are gaps in the communication, and at that time it is as though I say, oh, good gracious, I have to fill this bit in, you see.
Okay.
And I have to think on my wings, as it were. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, we've got 10 minutes left of the show, so we
yes.
want to cover...
We have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whenever I beat you.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Here they are.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, friend.
Hi, how are you? I wanted to ask this question. I hope it doesn't sound too complex. For instance, if you take a, what, I don't want to use the word lesser or lower, but...
My dear friend, may I just stop you? Please,
yes.
please do speak up and speak succinctly so that I can hear your syllables.
Oh, I'm
Thank
sorry.
You. No
How about
problem
now?
At all, friend.
Okay. If you take a being who is of, say, a density that is not is self-conscious, that they're conscious, say, as a human being.
Yes.
Can they actually evolve a soul complex to their spirit-body complex? I'm sorry, their mind-body complex. And, say, take on a human life, for instance.
So are you referring, my dear friend, to a situation of a being who has already existed?
Yes.
Shall we say?
That has had at least, say, for instance, a physical incarnation, but
yes.
not a human incarnation.
Yes.
And but yet they've had interactions with human beings that created an emotional desire within themselves to raise their vibration of light and understanding.
Yes.
And thus take on a soul complex.
Yes, I'm a little unclear, as many people may be, as to what you refer to as being a soul complex. Are you referring to that of a state of being whereby you may have other beings who are of the similar soul density or a similar soul vibration who are actually having one life experience? Or are you referring to actually different beings from perhaps, shall we say, your soul group who are sharing in a life experience from time to time so that you may be John Smith or whoever living at number 42 whatever street and that in all intents and purposes you prevail upon that personality, yet at times you are other senses or beings.
Okay, for instance, if you might have a pet, for instance,
yes.
and that pet grows to love you, though that pet doesn't understand when you say various things to him,
yes.
or it, do they increase in a drive, a desire to connect with the light of your being, thus increasing their own desire to...
I understand. I understand what you are saying, friend. The point is that if it is to do with relationship, interspecies relationship, you are actually looking at what is it that drives love within you for another being to respond. Are they responding to your activities or are they responding to your emotional intent, which comes from the love within a self? Therefore, you could say that this emotional content is a part of your soul experience that you are giving out toward another being. And what I have to say, friend, is that that other being will be responding to your purity because you are using love, which is the energy of purity from within a self, actually is a part of your soul, the divine aspect of your higher state. Therefore, it means that when a being, shall we say a dog or a cat, experiences emotional tie that you are sending to it, that you are giving it cuddles, you are patting it, you are saying soothing, beautiful words to it, it is not necessarily responding to your vocabulary, but it is responding in type and in kind to the emotional state which is coming across from you in its purity form from your soul. And it is that form which brings this tie together, which brings this bond of love, cements it, if you like, between the two beings. That is actually why that animal then befriends you and brings out the purity from its soul. Its divine purpose actually has relationship with yours. Yes?
So does that lower entity, if you will, I mean it's equal in spirit, but in terms of evolution toward understanding of itself, does that lower entity actually subscribe to your soul group through this?
Well, quite possibly so. However, if you are talking of a dog or a cat, whatever, it would usually be, and no, I have to restate that, it is always that being is from its own divine soul group, because a dog is a dog, and always has been within the purity, see, of that soul description of when it mutated from the being it was before it was dog. Yes?
Yes.
The point is that in your relationship, you have brought about this parity between you, this harmonic, which increases the value of soul between the two of you. So its soul grows just as much as your soul. And I have to say that though many human beings may decide for themselves that beings such as dogs, cats, monkeys, maybe marmosets, maybe whales, dolphins, and elephants, whatever, that all of these beings are somehow in lower physical form. Yet, how can they truly be lower physical form when they can understand one another and you cannot?
Yes.
And physical beings find difficulty, struggle with, and only at times find the divine love within a self, not necessarily because it is a love coming from you. It may well be a purity love, which comes from the unrelinquished purity of the spirit and the love of the animal. So who can say that an animal is necessarily lower than the physical human form? I'm really just saying that although animals have many different languages, horse is quite different from dog speak, as is alligator speak, or as is spider speak. But their languages have a common bond between them in that they can understand one another.
So
that
I guess,
is a dynamic which transcends physical state because of their soul compromise is not tainted by extreme negativity as human beings is.
Right. But do you, so I gather by what you're saying is that they already have a soul?
Oh, absolutely. So the things that don't have soul or that don't experience that gathering of consciousness are things like amoeba, single-celled organisms, things that do not regard one and one. I understand your query here because, of course, many would regard that beings of different mutation who are obviously on the surface appear to be of lesser intent, nevertheless may experience love. If a being experiences the emotion of love or the content of judgment, that is, the process of one and one past the understanding of decision, it means that it has a conscious state. Therefore, if it has a conscious state, it is able to understand the purity within a self.
So through that understanding, is it possible that they can graduate to a level where they can take on a lifetime as a human?
No, a dog will never become human being.
When
a dog will become a purer part of self. Will perhaps, it may be, my dear friend, that you may have a visitation to the spirit world and perhaps visit with an animal who takes on a whole different appearance. Perhaps it is an okapi, or perhaps it is some other creature that you have seen in your physical state of life, and yet in the spirit world emits this beautiful golden aura. Perhaps it is that its skin tone or coloring is not as you would have defined it in physical state, yet it appears to manifest this absolute purity beyond all reason of understanding, purely because you are looking upon the beauty of soul in purity of that form, not of a mutation just because it is a physical being, but of purity of its own divine purpose as being a part of God, or Lord is.
We've actually come to time, I'm afraid. So,
thank you for your question,
yeah, thanks
Finn.
Ever so much.
Well, thank you for your answer.
Okay.
With
take
love
care.
And light, dear Finn. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yes, that's it, I'm afraid. See, now we're on at the earlier time, we can't go over like we were at the end.
I understand that, Finn. Perhaps then we will need to talk of this
yes.
on the next
yes.
time,
so,
because we need to cover the aspect of the second part of what the soul
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And any more questions that, interesting questions that anybody wants to phone in with, then we can cover those as well. And that's wonderful. Yeah.
Then with
we'll
love and light.
Okay.
With love and light, as always, friend, I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you.
Okay.
With love and light, as always, may the breath of life and the glory of love always be within every step of your walk. May your purity be the breath which bathes one another in love. God bless.
God bless, Gregory. And I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening and your calls. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.